Hi, JP.
Hi. So now, you heard Spencer in that clip. He said bring on the Knicks. He was wrong. Ken Carman years ago said bring on the Yankees. He was wrong. You say bring on the Tigers. Are you the only person to successfully at this station say bring on fill in the team and then be able to be right?
I believe I am. And can I just say it's really nice to be right?
I mean, hey, don't hurt yourself. Pat yourself on the back.
In fairness, you and I are not "I was right" radio guys. There are other people on the station to do that for you because they need to tell you when they're right. We don't need to. I was right, though.
You were right.
I don't need to. I want to tell you that I was right.
Were you nervous at any point, though? At some point, after game three, when we were worried whether or not Kerry Bonds broke this team. You might have got a little worried. I call him Kerry Bonds, not Kerry Carpenter, by the way.
Well, no, that's his new name, but only when he plays the Guardians, apparently. The whole thing. Like, I think it's so funny. Like, I think we act as if we were supposed to feel great about every single moment of every game. No, the playoffs taunts you. It teases you. It wrinkles your brain. Mm-hmm. It destroys your confidence only to build you back up and then maybe take it away from you again. So, no, I at no point did I ever feel overly confident once the series got underway, because I think the spy versus spy element of the ALDS is what made that series so hard. It was, you had two very aggressive managers trying to outfox each other. You had teams trying to win the same way, and a couple games Detroit played your game better than you did. And that is honestly, that's tougher than just a team that can outslug you.
Yeah.
So no, I mean, I never felt wildly confident even going into this one. The second this game starts, I'm going to be in tatters. Like, you should have seen me on Saturday. So the Guardians moving from the 8 p.m. first pitch to the 1 p.m.
really threw off a lot of people's days.
Well, here's the thing. We had scheduled a farm tour that we go around in Medina County with my in-laws. And so we had to do it. There was no other, like, we can't back out of this. So your boy was...
You could back out of it.
No.
No, you put a deposit down on the farm tour?
Well, no, it's not like that.
What's the non-negotiable here?
Weather-wise, we knew that if we backed it up at all, because Medina County got a lot of rain on Saturday, more than folks up here, so we knew we weren't going to have a chance to do it, and it's like my kid's favorite thing to do.
Okay.
So
it was a kid play, which is good.
We listened in every time we were in the truck. And there was total silence because everybody knew Dad was tense. And then I had the earbud going on, and it finally got to a point.
Looking like Steve Bartman at the farm.
Like, it was, you could tell. Let's just say this. There was one gigantic man walking around the farm tour pacing, and like my kids were like on a loom. My kids apparently like really like to knit now. It was a whole thing. So like on these old time looms, and I'm just sitting there outside like, I can't believe you're going to do this. Don't pitch to him. What? Wait, why we pull Matthew Boyd? And then finally Vanessa was like, Nick, we're on our final stop here. It's early in the game. We're going to make it home for at least the fifth inning on.
It's like a farm crawl. You know, you do bar crawls?
Yes, that's exactly what we did. And so she said, she was like, why don't you just not have the earbud in? Because I think it's going to kill you. And I was like, you know what? You're right. My blood pressure is sky high. And then the first thing that happens is we wake up, they had a food truck. We walk up to the food truck. And we're in the middle of getting I had mac and cheese with brisket on top. Vanessa had the nachos.
Solid play.
So just delicious. And as she's scooping my mac and cheese, this woman just lets go a mother bleep out into the universe.
Thing sucks.
And that's when the Tigers scored first.
Wait, were your headphones caught up?
No. So I was behind her.
You were behind her.
Yes,
so she spoiled it.
Because I was listening on the phone and she was listening on the radio. And no, I just put, the, but I, so I was always behind whoever was listening on the radio in the moment. But I had put the earbud away.
But it's like when I watch Browns games and then I'm trying to get back to my house coming from the MGM or coming from the studio or West 6 or whatever. And I follow too many people. They give me the notifications.
Yep.
So I know. I'm listening on the radio, but I know 5 or 10 seconds ahead of time that, like, I don't know, some massive play happened. And it's the worst.
I was 5 to 10 seconds behind, or would have been 5 to 10 seconds behind, but because I'd literally just taken out the earbud, my blood pressure had just started to recede.
Yeah.
I just started to get on the level, and she said that. And, dude, I just had to walk away. I was like, it's not her fault. It's nobody's fault.
Definitely not her fault.
It's not Matt. No, it's not Cade Smith's fault. It's not Hunter Gaddis's fault. It's not Andrew Walters. It's okay. And now I will say I made it home for the Lane Thomas Grand Slam. And it sounded like a shotgun went off in my house because I lost my ever-loving mind. And some are calling it the biggest play of their Cleveland sports fandom history.
What
more can you say about it?
I heard some people say that type of thing. I'm happy. I'm happy that the station can continue doing bring on whatever team, because if you would have lost, it would have been Spencer, would have been Ken and you, and that we would have had to retire that to the rafters.
So with this, we're actually going to flip this because I actually want to start with the question you asked me in the pre-show.
Sure.
About the ALCS. Who is, for you, who is one player that can decide the Guardians' ALCS fate?
I think it's got to be Josh Naylor.
Ooh.
And so part of the reason why is I'm trying to fight fire with fire here in this series. I'm dialing everything up. I'm matching everything up. We know what they have. They have Soto. They have Judge. They have Stanton. They have the power in the middle, in the heart of the lineup. We don't have that when Josh Naylor doesn't hit. When Josh Naylor hits 200 and slugs 250 like he did in this last series, we're missing a big piece. So I think we go as Josh Naylor goes.
I'll be honest with you. If you said that I can trade any of the RBIs that he had, the singles that he had for home run, I would today. Like, even if it meant I got less home runs, I did singles, give it to me. Because you're 100% right. Lane has made up for this with the two home runs. Hosey got his first home run.
And think about how we won those games in particular, right? Game one, you won because of the Lane Thomas home run. Game four, you won because of the Jose and David Fry home runs. And then game five, you won because of the Lane Thomas home run. Like, I remember a lot of people giving him grief for like swinging out of their shoes after game three. And it's like, well, wait a second. You see how you're winning these games, though? You have to hit the ball far. You have to hit home runs.
Well, for me, it was more just, can we balance it a little bit?
Sure.
Like, and I think they actually did. Like, I think if you look at some of their at-bats, listen, one, you were hitting more harder balls than the other team was. And that finally bore fruit in the second half of the series. But the other thing was, I think you were just a little bit more consistent with, one, I'm going to look for that fastball. And if it's not the fastball, late in the count, I'm actually going to go ahead and just try and make something out of this. So, like, the Lane Thomas thing was, he just finally sat on the fastball, got it first pitch, and drove it home. So, like, I agree, though, I think it is Naylor. I think it's tough for me to imagine you winning eight more games to take this whole enchilada, whether it's this series or next, without Josh Naylor hitting at least one home run in that
short
span.
Right field porch.
Yep.
How many Rock the Babies are we going to get?
None until he hits a home run, I'll tell you that right now.
But if he does, is he going to actually go around the bases and rock the baby, or is he going to, or some people thought he was doing something else, but like, is he going to do that play?
Only on a home run though, right? It's not like a double.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. You can't do the double. That seems very weak, especially if it's like a 5-1 game and the Guardians are losing and then he hits a double and starts rocking the baby.
So it's
that would lack awareness.
It's not like a bad defensive play at first base where you almost turn one run scored into more than one run like we saw in the Detroit series, right?
It's not that. I get very angry at players when they're losing games and then they continue to do those type of things, though. Like, it's an 8-1 game, and then they do their little jump thing that they do, rounding second base into third. I just get agitated with that stuff. When they're winning, it's great.
216-474-0092. Who is the one player that decides the Guardians' ALCS fate? All right, as long as Stephen Kwan is still doing what Stephen Kwan is doing.
Are you expecting that, though?
Well, yeah.
He hit almost 500 in the last series.
Well, okay, but this is who Stephen is when he's healthy. And in a short series, not a short series, but in 3 to 5 to 7-game series, even a singles hitter can take over a series.
Well, I mean, we watched him in the first 2 months bat 400. Did we just ignite that? Because he's a streaky player. Josh Naylor's a streaky player, but so is Kwan.
So with Kwan, though, I think what the Detroit series proves is that he was just hurt.
Okay.
And I think he actually got time to rest up because he's taking the ball to left field and taking what's being given to him with so much more authority than he has since probably June. Like, you can tell, like, the swing is so much better. It looks so much better.
Well, the Tigers seem to have no answer.
But I got to say, it's Hosey.
Okay, good. I got worried we were going to do this and not have any Jose Ramirez answers.
No, it has to be
Jose. And that would have felt wrong to me.
It has to be Jose.
I'm going a little outside the box with the Josh Naylor one, but I do believe in it, and I do think he's a catalyst for it all. I'm glad you at least settled in on Jose.
So the reason why it's got to be Jose is he's your best player. He's the highest paid player. And they even if they walk him, that's fine. Then it becomes Naylor, but let him. And here's the thing. I don't think they're going to pay as much attention to Josh to Hosey as much as maybe Detroit did, because I think the Yankees are going to play with a little more hubris. AJ Hinch knew he couldn't get Hosey going. I don't think the Yankees are going to fear Hosey the same way, no matter what Aaron Boone says. So I think he's going to get a lot more opportunities to make plays in this series.
Well, runs were at a premium in the Tigers series, right? You scored one or two runs, you felt like you could just win any game imaginable. Where in the Yankees series, the Yankees just don't have that mentality. Most home runs in baseball in the regular season were hit at Yankee Stadium. Like, they just feel like they can claw out of anything. So I think you might be right about that.
216-474-0092. Who is the one player that decides the Guardians' ALCS fate? That, and we're not going to surprise you at all with what you're going to hear from the national crowd. Hey, guys, two former Yankees think the Yankees have an easy path to the World Series. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.